Welcome to Southside Student Ministries Podcast, where we are all about developing students into lifelong followers of Jesus. We trust that the message that you are about to listen to will help you know God better and help you live a transformed life. If you have any questions about what you heard, please visit us online at www.southsidestudentmin.com. Thank you for listening.
We ain't got too much, well, I actually got a lot of time, but I don't want to take up too much time. Yeah, be ready.
Is Carl and Patricia gonna date?
They make some good looking babies, though. That's kind of
That's a good point.
So, but here's the deal, okay? Listen up real quick. Listen up. My turn to talk. So, we make lists like this all the time about our significant other. It's a lot of fun to think about, okay, what kind of spouse do I want and this and that. And it's a lot of fun until it's actually time to make that decision. When you actually make that call to be like, you know what, I want to live with this person the rest of my life, or can I deal with this person the rest of my life? And when we have to make these calls, it can be really hard. Marriage, here's actually a fact for you, okay? Marriage is one of the most, if not the most important decision you can make. Separate from following Jesus, who you marry is probably the most important decision you will make, more than what career you want to go to. Because here's the deal, you probably will be in a different career by the age of 30. Like, that's just actual fact. You'll probably change your major 1,000 times. What college you go to doesn't necessarily matter, because here's the deal. Whether it's Purdue or IU, it ultimately doesn't matter, because it's still a degree. Where you live in the country doesn't matter. But I personally believe, and this is Mark talking, is your spouse can literally be the greatest thing ever in your life. They can be an absolute godsend, or they can literally make your life hell on earth. I'm just flat out saying it. Here's the deal. Who you marry is extremely important. And in fact, one of the most important decisions you can ever make. And I asked this question a little bit ago. Why does this even matter? Hey guys, focus in. We're not elementary anymore. So why does this matter? Some of you guys might be thinking, you know what? I don't really even care right now. Like, I just want to, like, you know, she's hot. I want to date her. Is that such a bad idea, Mark? Like, is that cool? Like, whatever. And here's the deal. At the end of the day, did you know that dating isn't like an old-fashioned thing? It's actually a common, like, thing. In fact, it used to be back in the day there was arranged marriages, which now that I have a kid, I am totally okay with arranged marriages, because it's just nuts. Absolute nuts. And I see Barb back there going, yep. But and then eventually it became you chose your spouse, but it was just someone who you hung out with a lot and you were friends with and you were in the same social structures. Remember a couple years ago we did Baywatch, the Baywatch series, not last year, but the year before? Good times. B-A-E-Watch, that's what it was, Baywatch. And I'm trying to remember where I was going off of, because the Baywatch thing totally threw me off my rabbit trail. I get totally rabbit trailed me. I don't remember what's happening. Hold on. Look, thank you. So we went through the history of dating, and it was just a lot of fun to see what dating was like back in the Old Testament times, New Testament times, your great-great-great-grandparents' time, and then your great-parents' time, and your parents' time, and today. And the dating world has absolutely changed, and in fact, it used to be a really easy decision. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. Back in the day, who you marry is really easy, because you would ask the question of who is available, and can I actually deal with them in this little tiny city. You didn't have the option to, like, oh, you know what, I'm just gonna hop on Tinder and I'm just gonna swipe until I find something. You didn't have that option. You didn't have eHarmony and Christian Mingle and Christian Farmers and this singles and this and this and this and this and this and this. You didn't have all these things. And now all of a sudden, what used to be an easy decision where, listen up, where it was a who am I going to marry and does this honor God? Now it's the fact of how the heck am I supposed to find, quote unquote, the one for me. So today's youth group, today's conversation is going to look different than our normal youth groups, okay? I'm not going to stand up here and necessarily teach you and take away, like, go with it. We're going to look at what we learned last week, those four how to make wise choices between two or more good decisions, because there's a lot of good girls out there, guys. There's a lot of good guys out there. Maybe there's only, like, two girls. Like, if you find one, just, normally it's like, if you like to put a ring on it, girls, if you find a good dude, like, just, yeah, pounce. Not literally, that's wrong. No dingy till the ringy. So, I said that. So, here's the deal though, okay? This decision is extremely hard. So we're going to walk through, and I'm going to teach you how to walk through these four actual questions, these four steps, these four tests to how to make sure you pick the right spouse for you. And here's my argument. I'm just going to tell you the big idea right now, okay? God didn't, quote unquote, make the one for you and you have to go find the one. Rather, God calls you to love the one you chose and to be the one for somebody else. That's a Mark quote right there. That's not straight from the Bible. The fact of God didn't necessarily make just the one. That's a new phenomenon. But rather, God tells you to love and respect the one that you choose. And we'll get into that conversation later. So let's go through the four steps how to make a wise choice between two or more good decisions. What's number one? What's step number one in finding a spouse?
Consult the Bible.
Consult the Bible. So we're going to consult the Bible tonight. We're going to read so many passages. Let's say, you know, you're trying to make a decision and you go, okay, what does the Bible say? So you get out the good old Google and you say, like verses on marriage or verses on this or verses on that. And you get this whole list and you got to break it down and think about it. So we're going to go through a lot of verses and we're going to see what it says and what it means. Sound good? So I need one person. And I'm going to just call on random people. Not call, but if you want to read, I'll give you a passage to read it. I need one person to read Genesis 1, 27 to 28. Daniel Birch, you'll read Genesis 1, 27 to 28. Next one is Proverbs 18, 22. Who wants Proverbs 18, 22? Gaby, Proverbs 18, 22. No, these are not, you won't read embarrassing words in here, guys, I promise. Maybe. Yeah. Ecclesiastes, that's a hard one. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Marissa, you got that one.
Can you find one and then give
Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Nathaniel, you got that one. Ephesians 5, this is a big one, 22 through 33. So you actually have to be able to read to be able to do this one really well. Eli, can you read?
I can, but my Bible's back
there. Cassidy, you got it. So, Cassidy, you got Ephesians 5, 22 through 33.
Actually, I'm going to take you.
And then the last one is 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Hey, Hannah.
Can you repeat? No, I'm trying to write this down.
Okay, well, as we call them out, then you can... Shorthand, girl, shorthand. Okay, your first one, Jessica, is Genesis 1, 27 through 28. Got it? All right, Genesis 1, 27 through 28. Who got that one? Who has that one? All right, Daniel, read it.
All right. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
Okay, so what is this passage saying, guys? What's this passage specifically saying, this one? Someone tell me about marriage. What does this passage say? Nothing? Go for it, Josh.
Male and female, not male and male and female.
That actually is a very good point. So here's the deal. God created marriage and God set up marriage. And then what's one of the purposes of marriage? To purple and have babies, okay? Like it asks us to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, have some kids. So God created marriage, and he even said, hey, fill the earth, have some kids, okay? So God created marriage. And then he said, go have some kids. Got it? So we know God created marriage. Who has the next one? Proverbs 18, 22.
I have that.
Go for it, Gaby.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Read it again.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
One more time.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
So what is this pastor saying?
Find a wife.
Find her wife or get a life. No. No, it actually says marriage is a good thing. A spouse is a good thing. A wife is a good thing. Like, actually, like, yeah, go, like, don't just, like, go steal someone and make them your wife, Eli. But having a wife is actually a good thing. Okay? Next one, Ecclesiastes 4:9. Who has Ecclesiastes 4:9? Go for it, Marissa.
Hey, no, I'm in Ephesians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes. We'll come back to you because these are just in random order. Who has Matthew 19, 4 through 6? Go for it, Nathaniel.
Haven't you read, he replied, that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female? And he also said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, when God has joined together, man is not separate.
Read those last few words again.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate.
So what's this saying about marriage? What's this passage? What?
No man divorced you.
That's right. So Jesus says, hey, you're supposed to get married and then start a life together and not what?
Divorce.
Not divorce. Now, is there cadences for divorce? Yes, we'll talk. We won't talk about it today, but we can talk about that later in small groups if you want. But at the end of the day, marriage is supposed to last for how long?
Ever.
Dang. So you better make sure you pick someone that you're okay going the distance with, okay? Because if not, it's going to be a miserable 70-something years for you, all right? I picked a good one, people. We going to make it. All right. So, Marissa, Ecclesiastes 4:9.
Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labors.
No, that's right. Wait, was that it?
Yes.
Read the next verse, too.
If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up.
And the next one. Oops.
Also, if two lie down...
It's not talking about sex.
How can one keep warm alone?
Okay, so what's this one about? Comfort, having a partner. Like, it's actually like your spouse is supposed to be someone who like is actually like can help you and be there for you. What's the next one? Ephesians 5:22 through 33. Buckle up. Go for it, Cass.
All right. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself to her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother to be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband.
That's one of the biggest passages on marriage in the Bible. Here's what it's saying, okay? This is exactly what this passage is saying. Marriage is it's a sign, it's a symbol of how the gospel works for the world. So your marriage is supposed to be a picture between Jesus and his church. It's a big calling for marriage. But also more than just that, wives and husbands, we don't have time to go into it, but they're supposed to put each other first. Wife, respect your husband. At the same time, husbands, love your wife. You're supposed to put each other first, and in doing such, you will show the world the gospel through your marriage. Last one, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Who did I give that one to?
That was me, but I think I got the wrong one.
You'd be surprised. 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness?
All right, someone tell me what that one's saying. Yeah, go for it, Hannah.
Don't marry unbelievers.
Yeah, don't marry an unbeliever. Here's the deal. If did any of you guys like have like the New King Jimmy and heard the word like don't be quote unquote unequally yoked, right? We're not talking about egg yolk here. Back in the day, I had a picture, but I forgot to put it up in the presentation software. But if when you had a farmer, if you, let's say you were a farmer and you were trying to dig those old school lines to plant your crops, right? And you have like that little machine that you have to put in the ground and it digs up so that way you can put the little line and put your seeds in and then grow it. Well, I don't know what they're called, but here's the deal. At the end of the day, sometimes you would have just one horse, but normally you would have two so they can walk along the sides so that way they would know exactly where to go. And where they were in the middle, that was your path. You wanted the exact same animal and the exact same size and the exact same hello. Exact same strength. And the reason is you want a straight line to go in the same direction and with the same speed. If you had a strong animal and a weak animal, it's actually proven that they will just go in circles and they go nowhere. They just go and go because the strong one keeps walking and the little one's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. And they just keep going around and around and around and around. That's what the Bible says about marriage. Everything we just read, God created it. It's designed not just to like, it, marriage, the sole purpose isn't just to, you know, have babies, but it's to also enjoy one another and to comfort one another and to be kind to one another and to love one another and respect one another. And it's between, yes, a man and a woman, and yes, you should actually get married to someone who loves Jesus and not just goes to church. If you want to hear a sermon about a quote-unquote Christian atheist, it'll be launched tomorrow, I promise. But I did that one. So, totally lost my train of thought with that. But at the end of the day, you have to find someone who has the same goals in life in you. And not just goals with career and jobs and success and all that kind of stuff, but goals with how you're going to raise your kids. What are you going to do in terms of being involved in your church and in your community? And just how to have, like, love one another in the way God loves you. That's what the Bible says about marriage. So when you say consult the Bible about it, this is consulting the Bible. So right here, right now, this is what I can say. This is what God says about marriage. That was step number one. So the first test you got to put someone up against is, okay, does this person equate what the Bible says for marriage? If he doesn't, here's the other thing. All right, girls, if he doesn't respect his mama or his sisters, dump him. All right? Dudes, if she completely doesn't obey and just does offer her own thing, is crazy, whatever, dump her too. It's going to be a miserable life. That's just word of the wise. But let's say they pass the test of, okay, sure, they love Jesus. Awesome. Like, that's great. They're going to be kind to me. They follow what the Bible says. Awesome. What's the next test that we have to do to find our spouse? What's the next test? It's on your slip.
Seek wise counsel.
Now, why is it important to seek wise counsel? Oh, because the Bible says that too. So here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 19:20. It says, listen to counsel and receive instruction so that way you might be wise later in life. Proverbs 12:15 says, a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. So we should listen to wise counsel. And who are the counselors that we should be listening to? Hannah, Nick, give me one.
Our parents.
Your parents. Oh.
Mark.
Well, we'll get there, but your parents are one. Here's the deal. If your parent says, I don't like this person, that's not code for, okay, I just don't like this person. That's code for, like, dump them and move on, okay? Honor your parents. What's another one, Nathaniel?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit is a very, very big one, and we'll come back to him at the very end. What's another one? Well, who's another mentor in your life? Who's another person you should seek wise counsel from? Yeah, John.
Your pastor.
Your pastor, that's a big one. Who's your pastor?
You.
My dad.
Pastor Scott's a big one, but here's the other deal.
Two birds with one stone.
That's true. And his wife, you have to go through your pastor's wife too. So there you go.
Three birds with one.
What? Bam. So I'm not the fourth bird. I'm by myself. But so Pastor Scott is a big counsel. And here's the deal. Pastor Scott is one of the wisest guys I've ever met. If you don't know what to do, he is a great resource for you. And I'm just gonna flat out say it. But you also have another pastor in your life who kind of likes you guys and kind of does things for you and tries to pour to you a lot. Who is that guy?
Darren Garten? What?
Me. I know this sounds really, really weird for me to say, but here's the deal. I could probably, okay, this is just kind of, can I tell them, Nicole, this is hilarious. I like to pair up you guys in youth group and go, could they make it or not? Like, it's actually a really fun game for me in my head. And I tell Nicole and she just laughs at me. It's quite wonderful. Nicole just listens to me and goes, oh man. And now all you guys are wondering, who the heck did Mark pair me with? It's a lot of fun in my head. Brayden, I did not pair you two together. So that got really weird really, really quick. But here's the deal, okay? I do want to be involved with you guys. In fact, a lot of you guys have heard me say this to you guys, where if you guys get a boyfriend, who has to approve? Me. I want to meet him. Well, I met him. Well, I don't know him yet, though. I got to take him for coffee and grill him. But, I mean, he's you guys look cute together. At least, you know, you got the first check right there, you know, like, you know, and he's an athlete, so, you know, stud muffin with some abs, so he got, Callie's got two categories down already. So, yes, Nicole. Small group leader, that's another big one. So, this is what the purpose of small group leaders is for you guys to, what? Oh, I guess I am a small group leader. There you go. Eli saving stones left and right. So your small group leaders actually kind of like you and pour into you, and they can help you along with that as well. Who else? Who else are some mentors in your life? Yeah, Nathaniel.
Grandparents.
Your grandparents. Yes, that's a big one, especially for some of you guys who are extremely, extremely close to your grandparents. That's a cool resource to tap into. Are there any other good mentors, resources that you guys can tap into? Yeah, Hannah.
Your best friend.
See, that's one I thought too, and I was talking to my buddy Devin about it, and he said that here's the deal. Sometimes your friends don't really care about you. They just care about themselves, and they'll give you bad advice. So when I was talking to Devin about this, I'm like, well, what about friends? And he said, you know what? If your friend is a godly person who seeks godly advice, they probably will push you to talk to your parents and push to your mentors and push to your pastors in that regards. But yeah, your friends can help you see blind spots too as well. Yeah, Hunter.
I think animals have a good judgment of character. So if my animals like her.
I mean, I guess if you have to live with a dog, you don't want them to bite your face off. So, I guess that kind of counts.
Well, animals have a good judgment of character.
That's true. Still kind of weird. But all right. All right, we'll give it to you. Eli, last one.
Teachers.
Your teachers. Some of you guys are extremely close to your teachers. As you enter into college, if you go to a small Christian college, you will be very close to certain ones. And then there's some people like Josh Simpson over at Grissom, one of the greatest dudes I've ever met. If you went to Grissom or were connected to him, that dude is an amazing judge of culture, of character. I love that guy to death. And some of you guys actually have Christian teachers at your schools that you can pour into and actually ask them for help and advice as well. So we need to be tapping into these wise counselors to help us make the decision in marriage. And here's the question, why? Not just because God says so, but why is it a good thing to tap into wise counselors and mentors to help you in this decision? Yeah, Hannah.
Because when you like someone, you don't see what's wrong with them.
Blind spots.
And your friend will say, well, I don't think this, or whoever you ask,
right,
will say, I don't really think this is right, you know, have you noticed this or that?
Yeah, so they can help you see blind spots in the other person. Yeah, that's a good one. Cassie, do I see your hair, like, or your hand come up behind Trent's hair? Yeah, they can see your blind spots. Anything else besides just to help you see their blind spots? Yeah, Eli.
You don't know everything. More people have been through more experiences.
Yeah, your parents and Pastor Scott, I mean, me, not as much, but we've been around the block a couple times. We've seen, like, you know, personalities that can work, but personalities cannot. We can see, okay, this person might seem like a good person now, but we can, like, I can read through them, and they might have a different alternative that you might just not realize. Yeah, Johnny.
Make sure it's not an act.
There you go. Yeah, make sure they're not just faking it to you so that, you know, like, let's just be honest, guys. Like, I mean, we kind of shot right out the gate the first week. People will say anything to sleep with you, especially dudes to girls. They will say anything to sleep with you, and they don't care. They just want to use you and abuse you. So, guys, hey, don't do that. Girls, be smarter than that. Remember, no dingy before ringy. That's our quote for the day. No dingy before ringy, okay? That's what we're doing. Which, by the way, if you're uncomfortable with that, a junior high pastor told me to say that every time because it's just hilarious. So we need to be talking to wise counselors. So if you're like, yes, okay, this person, you know, passes, like they say they love Jesus, they seem like they can be a good fit. You talk to your counselor, and they're like, yeah, you know what? I think that person can actually like be help. Like they'll be a good mate for you. They'll be a good partner. What's the next test? Next test is what? Date? Is that what you said? Pay attention to your desires. And here's a fun question. What desires are those? And some of you guys are thinking, uh-oh, like, that's awkward. Like, and it's not the desire that just you look at them and go, they're hot. I want that. Like, nah, those kind of desires. What kind of desires are we talking about? This is where personality comes in, okay? This is, like, this is just Mark talking. This is common sense, okay? This is just being wise. This isn't, like, I don't have exact biblical truth for this. This is just common sense, okay? Can you actually live with this person the rest of your life? Can you actually deal with this person the rest of your life? All of us have shortcomings. Can you be patient with that person's shortcoming? Does their laugh drive you nuts or not? Because you gotta listen to that laugh for the next 75 years. Do they have the same goals, aspirations? Do they want a big family, small family? Are they cool living in the city or do they want to be in the country? Do they like to do this? Do they not like to do this? You gotta pay attention to what you actually want because here's the deal, okay? When two married people are going into two different directions, you guys know what happens a lot of times. And I don't even think we need to talk about it. When two married people go in two completely different directions, a lot of bad things happen. Married people are a team. They're not trying to work against each other, okay? So you need to find a spouse that can become a teammate with you and push you in both your goals and their goals, and you actually have to, yes, like that person, okay? So pay attention to your desires, what you want out of life, and what your goals and aspirations are, and make sure that they line up with that as well. Or if you don't, it can be a very, very, very miserable experience for you, okay? What's number four? Ask God for confirmation. This is asking God, hey, God, like, I used wisdom. I believe I made the best choice. Please save me if this is stupid before, like, I actually say I do. Like, asking God for help, asking God for wisdom, making sure that you actually, yes, God, is this the right person for me? And here's the deal, okay? If this person loves Jesus, I'm talking not just like, yeah, they'll go to youth group with me. Like, do they flat out love Jesus? Do they actually, like, do your parents approve? Do your mentors approve? Do your small group leaders approve? Not just do your friends approve, but do people that actually have a say and you know have been around the block a few times, do they actually approve of that person? Third one, can you actually, like, you know, enjoy being with this person? Can you guys work together as a team? And the last one is just asking God, hey, God, I want to make sure this is right. If you pass those four tests, my question is really, what are you waiting for? You know, our culture, a lot of times, we're pushing the marriage age farther and farther and farther back. So the average age for a man to get married, I think, is 28, and the girl, I think, is like 25 or something like that. And here's the deal. I'm not pushing for you guys to get married at 18 or 17 or whatever. Here's the deal. I got married at 20, and Nicole was 21. People said, you guys are young and stupid, and you haven't even lived life yet. Why would you want to get married? And our answer was simple of, why would we want to live two separate lives and then try to make it one? Why don't we just do life together from the get-go? Like, that was kind of our answer. Like, we rolled with it. Olivia Hornick, how old were you when you got married?
17.
She was 17. Yo, okay, so Johnny, you got one more year left of being single, big guy. Like, that's the time frame though Olivia was in.
17.
And her husband Nathan is an amazing guy. Her husband is an amazing guy, and Jace is just cute. Like, can we just say that Olivia, Jace is pretty cute. I'm just curious now, Barb, how old were you when you and Tim got married?
Almost
29. 20, almost. So, see? Everyone's different. Everyone's different. Barb was not old, okay, guys? She's not old, okay? I'm not even 28 yet. She's not old, Eli. Fairchild, how old were you?
22.
How old was Mary?
20, or when?
When you guys got married, yeah.
She was 22 as well.
Just 22 as well?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, she was just had her.
22. They had a Taylor Swift wedding. They're both 22. So here's the deal. Here's my advice to you guys. The age of marriage doesn't necessarily matter if it makes sense, okay? If it makes sense. But here's the deal at the end of the day. Some of you guys might be thinking, I don't even care about marriage. Use wisdom. You're going to get married someday, I think. And here's the deal. And if not, that's okay. The Bible says that singleness is actually a gift. It's kind of weird to think about. Singleness is actually a gift from God. It doesn't make sense in today's culture because everyone's pushing to get married. But some of the greatest people in the Bible were single, the Apostle Paul. Some of the greatest people in the Christian faith have been single. So don't count yourself short if you find yourself single. That's okay. You can do a lot more good for God single than you can with having a spouse. The Apostle Paul flat out says that. But at the end of the day, who you choose to marry, I know some of you guys don't even care about this right now, but just remember this when it's time. Who you choose to marry literally can make or break your life. So you better choose wisely. Kind of scary, but you better choose wisely. So let's pray and let's get on off to small groups. This is Mark Hyde, the pastor here at Southside Student Ministry. Just wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this podcast. If it's been encouraging to you in any way, shape, or form, we would encourage you just to rate us. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. It actually helps other students see us when they go looking for podcasts to know that we're just not a load of crap and that they can actually trust us with the content we're kicking out. We will see you all next time here on Southside Student Ministries Podcast.